Welcome to our Wednesday evening prophecy hour here at Green Valley Baptist Church. Let me ask you to begin taking your Bibles and begin finding Psalm 80. And I hope that you will listen tonight as I've got a lot to share with you and we're going to have to move very quickly. We have heard much in America over the past year and a half, about impeaching the President of the United States. But I wonder if anyone has ever given thought to this, will God impeach America? That's the title of tonight's prophecy message, Will God Impeach America? Now you have your Bibles and you're in Psalm 80, so you follow along as I read. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, that thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadows of it, and the boughs thereof were like goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs under the sea, and her branches under the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven, and behold, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down, they perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee? Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Would you bow with me in prayer? Almighty Father, we thank you for this precious word of God that speaks to the times in which we find ourselves living today. Lord, we pray that you would give us an ear to hear and a heart to yearn for God in America again. Father, we pray that you would give us the courage to stand and to speak in this day of trouble, to speak truth and justice from the Word of God to the situations we find ourselves living in this world today. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Now in this particular psalm, God is speaking about the nation of Israel, and I want you to note the question he asked them in verse 12. God says to Israel, why hast thou broken down her hedges? And family and friends, it's important for our own understanding to know that God put a hedge around the nation of Israel. But when he asked the question, he asked because now it seems that God has removed the hedge. And then it says, if you look with me at the Bible in verse 12, why hast thou taken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar that is the wild hog of the wood doth waste it. Waste what? The nation of Israel. And the wild beast of the field doth devour it. God took down the hedge over his covenant people. And so the question that I'm asking tonight is, will God impeach America? Friends, it grieves me that this nation that God has blessed abundantly, that God has blessed more than she could ever ask or think, is sick, I fear, unto death. We are in a moral free fall, and soon we are going to hit bottom, and there will be no repair. If something is not done soon, America will become a molded crust in history's garbage can. Listen, what we have here in Psalm 80 is a prayer of revival. It is the prayer of a patriot. Are you a patriot tonight? How would you define yourself as a citizen of America? This patriot teaches us something here tonight because I want you to know he is praying for national revival. His eyes are not on himself. He's thinking about his nation. He's praying for spiritual restoration. As an American, is that what you're praying for? Do you pray for this nation? Do you pray for its leaders? Do you pray that God would raise up someone who can bring back spiritual restoration? Are you praying for your fellow Americans? I want you to look with me at verses 1 to 3 where he says, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock. Thou that dwellest before the cherubim shine forth, before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." And then look, if you will, in verse 7, he says, "Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." Family and friends, this is a prayer for revival. It is a prayer prayed in desperate days. And have you ever seen a more desperate day in the United States than today? And I want you to understand there are four things we can learn from this psalm tonight. My prayer is that we can see how applicable the words of this psalm are to America tonight. And the very first thing I want us to see and discover is that there was great national despair. And what was this despair? It was spiritual sterility. Look with me at verse 14 where he says, "O Lord God of hosts," or verse 4, excuse me, where he says, "O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people?" And so he's describing spiritual sterility. The people are praying, but God is not answering the prayers. Contrawise, not only is God not answering the prayer of the people was making God angry. Did you know that the prayer of an unrepentant people is an insult to Almighty God? Religion without righteousness is repugnant to God. America is praying. Why, we even hold a national day of prayer in this nation. A day when all the big shots gather ever so often to pray, and yet the cesspools of iniquity are full and running over, and God is angry at the prayers of His people. We spend 6 days a week sowing wild oats, and then come on Sunday and we pray for crop failure. That's what's been happening in America for far too long. Is it any wonder that God shut the world and this nation down? So much of our praying is, "God bless us. It doesn't matter what we've done, what we're involved in, or even if you'll agree with us, God, just bless us anyhow." That's been the attitude of an arrogant nation. Is it any wonder America is writhing in distress, divided as never before? Listen, God is not going to do that. There was in this nation Israel so long ago spiritual sterility. And that spiritual sterility that we read about in verse 4 is compounded by personal sorrow in verse 5. Look at it. "Thou feedest them with the bread of tears. Thou givest them tears to drink in great measure." This was a nation baptized with salty tears. Why? Because sorrow follows sin as sure as night follows day. And what the psalmist is describing for us here is personal sorrow. The Bible says in Proverbs 29 and 2 that when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. And we are seeing that all over America today. Our politics and our politicians throughout the nation have done nothing but create a quagmire of heartache and division. Listen, every nation that turns away from God gets the government it deserves. So it should not surprise us here in America that we have gotten the government that we deserve. It makes you wonder if the ocean of tears, rivers of blood, and seas of sweat will be the price that America must pay. But not only was there spiritual sterility, not only was there personal sorrow, there was also national shame. Look with me at verse 6 where he says, "Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves." I don't know if you know this. Do you know what God Bless America is known as in many parts of the world? The Great Satan. There are demonstrations against America all over this world, and demonstrations right now going on in every major city in America today. No longer is America respected for her ideals. No longer is America respected for her leadership and her moral strength. Family and friends, it's a shame. It's a darn shame that our nation has lost both its spiritual and its moral compass. It breaks my heart that God could say of our nation today, "Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves." Now, I want you to understand, the psalmist is speaking about a nation filled with great national despair. That's what I want you to see. There had been a glorious national design, and the key words are, "there had been." Look with me, if you will, at verse 8 and following. Here is what God said he did for Israel. "Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt." Now he's calling his people a vine, like a grapevine. "Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it." And what he is talking about here is the Jewish nation coming out of bondage in Egypt, where they had broken the gnawing and tormenting chains of slavery. And they have come to a new land, and God planted them in the land of Canaan. And note how he describes it here. "Thou preparest room before it," that is, before the vine, "and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadows of it, and the boughs thereof were like goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river." What is he saying? There had been a glorious national design. This was a nation divinely planted. God planted the nation of Israel in the land of Canaan. And I want to say to you tonight that there is a striking parallel between Israel of old and America today. The two are not the same. They are not synonymous. But I do believe that God planted America, God ordained, and God blessed America. Because no nation has ever had such a Christian beginning like America. Now, Israel was a vine planted by God, and yet Israel forgot God and judgment came. The American dream was placed into the bosom of our founding fathers, I believe, by God himself. The original colonies that came to these shores were founded because of the Christian faith. In 1620, when the pilgrims came to America, they came seeking religious liberty and freedom. They huddled beneath the decks of that little Mayflower ship. And there they wrote the Mayflower Compact, which began with these words, "In the name of God, amen." And they wrote in their compact that their voyage to these shores was for, and I quote, "for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith." But that is not what is being taught in our schools today. No, we are teaching, it seems, a revisionist history. That is, there are those who want to rewrite history. And I will ask you to listen very carefully to me as I share with you what former Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Earl Warren, had to say many years ago. Now, it's very important that you listen to this lesson from history, because by no stretch of the imagination could you call the former Chief Justice, Earl Warren, a right-wing Christian. And there was a time when you would go up and down the highways of America and you would see signs that said, "Impeach Earl Warren." There were people who thought of him as being part of the liberal left. And so you must understand what Earl Warren said in the light of the fact that he was not known as a part of the Christian right. And I am going to be quoting to you from a speech made by Earl Warren in Time magazine in 1954. This is what the former Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice, said. We're talking about the fact that America was divinely planted. Chief Justice said, and I quote, "I believe that no one can read the history of our country without realizing the good book, talking about the Bible, and the spirit of the Savior, which have from the beginning been our guiding genius. Whether we look at the first charter of Virginia, or the charter of New England, or the charter of Massachusetts Bay, or the fundamental orders of Connecticut, the same objective is present, a Christian land governed by Christian principles." Of course, we know anything spoken like that today is said to be politically, very politically incorrect, and I hope you understand that, but he went on to say, "I believe the entire Bill of Rights came into being because of the knowledge of our forefathers had of the Bible and their belief in it. Freedom of belief, of expression, of assembly, of petition, the dignity of the individual, the sanctity of the home, equal justice under the law, and the reservation of the powers to the people." The Chief Justice went on to say, "I would like to believe that we are living today in the spirit of Christian religion. I would also like to believe that as long as we do, no great harm can come to our country." And I'm talking about the fact that in 1954, a liberal left winger believed that America, like Israel, was divinely planted as a nation we once knew. That's the reason our national hymn, "America," says, "Our Father's God to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might." Now listen to this. Great God, our King. Don't ever say that the United States did not have a king, because our King is in the heavens. His name is Jesus Christ. We have believed that. We have sung about it. Our forefathers believed in the separation of church and state, rightly understood, but never for a moment in the separation of God and government. Israel was divinely planted in verse 8 and divinely prospered. Look again with me, if you will, in verses 10 and 11 here. The psalmist writes, "The hills were covered with a shadow of it." What? The vine that God planted. "And the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedar. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river." The prophets of ancient Israel taught that the right of personal ownership of property. They taught the dignity of work. They taught honor, and Israel prospered. And America has prospered. No nation has ever had the prosperity of these United States. We talk about poverty, and we talk about social injustice here in America, and we have to do all that we can to eradicate any of it. But I've been to Argentina, and I can tell you the poor in America are rich compared to many peoples of the world. And the fruit of that prosperity that God gave to Israel was for God's glory. I want you to look at verse 15 here in God's Word. "In the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, in the branch thereof that thou madest strong for thyself." God did not bless America so that theology could be replaced with meology, where people could say God doesn't matter anymore, and it appears that all that matters is self and self alone. Israel was divinely planted. America divinely planted. Israel divinely prospered. America divinely prospered. And Israel was divinely protected. Look again at verse 12. "Why hast thou broken down her hedges?" in Bible times, when a man would plant a vineyard, he would put a thick thorn hedge around that vineyard to keep out the predators and to keep out the thieves. God said, I planted this vine and I put a hedge around this vine. May I also say that God planted America and God has protected America for 244 years now. This nation has been protected in a war-torn world. Compare America over the last century. Compare these blessed shores to what has happened in England, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, Korea, Russia, Yugoslavia, Vietnam, Afghanistan, and others. God has protected America. God put a hedge around America, and we knew it. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. Israel's first line of defense. Are you listening tonight? Was God himself. Not alliances, not weapons of war, but God Almighty. And God Almighty in times past has protected America. And we've all grown up with a sense that God's hand has been upon America. Now there's a third thing that I want you to learn tonight. I want you to see not only national despair and national design, but I want you to see grave national danger. We at this moment are at a point of grave national danger. And what is that danger? It's found right here in verse 12. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges? You see, God has put a hedge around Israel, but then God broke down the hedge. God has put a hedge around America, but the hedge, I'm afraid, has been taken away. Have you ever thought about the doctrine of hedges? Do you remember the story of Job in the Bible? The devil could hardly wait to get his hands on Job. He's saying to God, that Job, the only reason he serves you is because you have petted him, you have prospered him, you have protected him. I can't get to him. You built a hedge around Job. Every time I try to get to Job, there's your hedge. And God says, you don't know my servant Job. You can find this in Job chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, where we read, Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Did Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? You see, there is a doctrine of hedges. The devil can't get through the hedge. And now what God had done for Job, God also does for nations. God did for Israel. I want you to listen to Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. God's talking about Israel here. And he says, Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it. And gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes, and now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. Now I want you to notice, God said, look, I founded this nation. I protected this nation. I put a hedge around this nation. And I was expecting that it would bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. Now I'm going to take down the hedge. Family and friends, several years ago, Pastor Joe Wright of Kansas was asked to lead the Kansas State Senate in prayer. They were expecting the normal, flabby, perfunctory prayer. But Pastor Joe Wright stood up and prayed, and here's what he prayed. And as you listen to what he prayed, I want you to remember that while he prayed, the senators began to get up and they began to walk out during that prayer. Here's what he prayed.
Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness and to seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, woe unto those that call evil good, but that's exactly what we have done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and inverted our values. We confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it pluralism. We have worshipped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it alternative lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it lottery. We have neglected the needy and called it self-preservation. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed the unborn and called it choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it political savvy. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Guide and bless these men and women who have been sent here by the people of Kansas and who have been ordained by you to govern this great state. Grant them the wisdom to rule, and may their decisions direct us to the center of your will. I ask in the name of your Son, the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what he prayed. And then Paul Harvey read this prayer on his program, and Paul Harvey got more requests for copies than any other thing he'd ever done before. I say, God, give us more pastors like Joe Wright who understand that our God, who planted this nation, protected this nation, he's put a hedge around this nation, and does he not have a right to ask that we not bring forth wild grapes? Now, what has the result been? That's what we want to get to. What is this grave national danger? Well, there was external danger from her enemies. Look again at verse 12. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? America's natural resources have been stripped away. Some have been legislated out of existence. We are at the same time losing our resources, losing our friends. Because outside these shores, America is known as the Great Satan. And other nations now have the capability to put a missile on any major city in the United States. Because the vine that was blessed has been plucked. External danger from her enemies, internal danger from corruption. Look at verse 13. The poor, the wild hog of the wood wasteth. Now, friends, a hog is not only content to eat the fruit, the hog deals with the root. That's because America has become so immoral and immoral, so corrupt and so vile. Family and friends, there is a tidal wave of filth sweeping across America. Crookedness, lying, cheating, stealing, adultery, divorce, murder, lust, dope. Vice, no matter what it is, America is number one. She's number one in homosexuality, number one in radical feminism, number one in divorce, number one in the destruction of family values, number one in abortion, number one in political correctness, number one in occult humanistic New Age religion. That's America. I'm telling you, we're in a moral freefall. I want you to think about all that has been happening for several years now, beginning in 1963. In 1963, in our American schools, prayer is out, policemen are now in. Bibles are out, values clarification is in. The Ten Commandments are out, rape, armed robbery, murder, and bombs are in. Creation is out, evolution is in. Corporal punishment is out, disrespect and rebellion is in. Traditional values are out, unwed motherhood is in. Abstinence is out, condoms and abortion are in. Learning is out, social engineering is in. Happy days are out, gothic fashion, gangster rap, heavy rock, heavy metal is in. Blasphemy is in. Praise is out. In a public school, you can tell someone to go to hell, but you cannot share with them how they can get home to heaven. Family and friends, it is time for Christians to stand up and to speak up. It's time to take a stand for God's truth and for Jesus Christ, because the only hope for America is Jesus Christ. It should not surprise us one bit what we are seeing taking place in America right now on the nightly news, because America is guilty of value replacement. For too long now, we have valued everything else above the Word of God in Jesus Christ. So please understand, we are receiving back exactly what we've taught. The anarchy, the elevation of self, the lack of concern for all others, the isms, racism, feminism, chauvinism, sexism, absolutionism, academism, agnosticism, and the list goes on. Atheism, capitalism, anarchism, conservatism, fatalism, communism, socialism, Gnosticism, egotism, sensationalism, criticism, skepticism, and I say the list goes on and on and on. This is what happens to a nation when God takes down the hedge. There is external danger, verse 12. There is internal danger, verse 13. And there is eternal danger, look with me if you will, at verses 14 and 15. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted and the branch which thou madest strong for thyself. Now watch this in verse 16. The vine is burned with fire and is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Now it is God himself who is bringing this judgment. God's judgment is like an axe, according to this verse, laid to the root of the tree. God's judgment is like a consuming fire. And that's what's happening in America tonight. Family and friends, not only is God America's greatest hope, God is also America's greatest threat. Almighty God is America's greatest threat. Look again at verse 16. It is burned with fire. It is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. What is happening on the streets of America right now? Anarchy. Hell has broken loose here in America. Businesses destroyed, fire set, looting, injury after injury after injury. And it's no wonder, because look what we have done. We have expelled God from our schools and our government. Is it any wonder that God could be preparing to impeach America? You say, well, how can you say such a thing? How can you say that we've been expelled by God? Well, now let's listen and let's look back at history and let's look what's happened. The United States Supreme Court banned prayer in public schools in 62. Then in 1963, they banned the Bible. And then the Ten Commandments were banned in 1980. What we have become is legally an atheistic state that was compounded in 1973 when abortion on demand was legalized. Little babies in the mother's womb were given the status of non-beings. January 22nd, 1973, surely is going to go down as the blackest day in American history when 9 Supreme Court justices, self-anointed priests of humanism, said these little babies are not real human beings. And the soil of America has been stained since that time with the blood of millions of aborted babies. Family and friends, there's something wrong, greatly wrong, awfully wrong in America tonight. You see, we've expelled God from America. There is no room for God. What's wrong in America? God has taken down the hedge. How do you know? How else do you explain what is happening in God-blessed America? You see, why are we suffering all of these problems? We're so jaded, it's almost like we have the tragedy du jour, the tragedy of the day. There is a tornado sweeping across America today. Why? Because the hedge is down. It began in 1962 when we kicked God out and the judgment is ripening. Here is a little more history. In the mid-1980s, the Midwest and California suffered through the worst drought in history. And then that drought was followed by record rains in both of these sections, and the drought was followed by severe flooding. In 1989, Hurricane Hugo struck Charleston, South Carolina, doing immense damage. After Hugo, a powerful earthquake rocked San Francisco. In 1992, 10 of the most powerful quakes in the world were centered in California, including the most powerful one of that time, 7.6 magnitude. On the heels of that, in 92, Hurricane Andrew, one of the most powerful and destructive ever, hit southern Florida. And then in that same year, the worst rioting since the Civil War took place in Los Angeles. And then a number of tornadoes swept across America. And then a record forest fire swept through the West, especially in California. In 1993, record storm slammed the east coast of this nation. And in 93, a terrorist attack struck New York City. And then California was again hit with record wildfires. And then we began mass killings and serial killings here in America. They become a regular occurrence since the 1990s. And then in 94, the coldest temperatures ever recorded since the 1880s covered the Midwest and the East. The cold was so intense that the wind chill hit near 90 below in some states. Did you know that in the 80s, America went from being the world's largest creditor nation to being the world's largest debtor nation? Did you know that from 1990 to 1998, 9 million Americans went bankrupt, and that is a record since the Great Depression, and then 9/11, and then Hurricane Katrina, and all through these 2000s, we could say, and then, you get the picture. Are you getting the message? The hedge is down. Family and friends, it is time to understand this is what the enemy has been wanting to do for a long time now. He's been walking around saying, how can I get in? How can I get in? How can I get in? I can't get in. I can't get in. Oh, this is a God-blessed America. But America says, God, we don't want you. We don't want you. Out, out, out. Out of our schools. Out of our government. We don't want you, God. Do you know what the prayer was when the Supreme Court ruled that our children could not pray in school? Was it a great, terrible prayer that they prayed? No, here's what they prayed. Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence upon Thee. We beg Thy blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, our country. Amen. Oh, they said, you can't do that in America. We do not want the Bible. We do not want prayer. We do not want the Ten Commandments. We'll handle it ourselves. And God says this, Leviticus 18:25, I'll just take away the hedge, and the land is defiled. Therefore do I visit the iniquity thereof upon it. One last thing. There may be family and friends, a gracious national deliverance. It's not too late. Oh, it's not too late. Note the prayer of this patriot beginning in verse 14. And I pray that if you're an American patriot, you too would begin to pray in this way. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold, and visit this vine and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. What should we do tonight? Number one, we must look up. We must look up. God is the only one who's big enough, strong enough, wise enough to deliver and to save us. There isn't a politician alive who who can save us, but God can. And we must seek God's face and not God's hand. Note verse 19, turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. We need to return to God with fasting and praying and weeping. We need an old-fashioned revival here in America, family and friends. Don't worry about who the elected officers are in the Congress, the White House, or anywhere else. God doesn't have to root revival through Washington. We must look up and we must confess up. Look again at verse 16. The vine is burned with fire. It is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. It is sin. It is sin, brothers and sisters, that has caused God to take the hedge down. We must confess and we must turn from our wicked way. And then number three, not only must we look up and confess up, it is time to speak up. Look at verse 17. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. And by the way, who is it that he's talking about here? He's talking about Jesus Christ, the righteous. It's who he's talking about in this verse. This is a prophetic psalm, friends. And he's saying that the hope is in the Son of God. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand. That's Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. And in the name of Jesus Christ, it is time to rise up. And it is time to speak up. They tell us all the time, go get back onto that rock. We need to come out from under the rock and stand upon the rock that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And people will say, oh, that's politics and religion. Well, let me tell you something about the church. The church is not the master of the state, nor is the church the servant of the state. The church is the conscience of the state. We need to speak up and we need to say what God's word says. Satan's strategy is to keep good people, good men, good women, silent in evil times. And what you need to know is we still have full amendment rights and freedom of speech to pray, to carry our Bibles, and to witness for Jesus Christ. Is that being insensitive? Not at all. When somebody gets offended, what if somebody gets offended? Well, I'll tell you what, I'm offended every day by those who try to keep us from speaking out in the name that stands above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. And by the way, do you realize there is nothing in the First Amendment that says that somebody is protected from being offended? The Bible teaches that we're to speak. And our Constitution says that nobody shall bridge our rights to speak. And so what I'm saying is that we must look up, we must confess up, we must speak up, and by God's grace, we must stand up. Look again at verses 18 and 19. So will we not go back from thee? Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. We don't have great numbers here of people in America who are seeking God like we once had. But I want you to note that Jesus only started with 12 disciples, and one of them was a traitor. And the Bible teaches in Joshua 23 and 10, one man of you shall chase 1,000, and the Lord, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you as he is promised. And it's just time, friends. It's just time here in America that we stood up. You know what's wrong with so many of us now? We're so shell-shocked. All the bad news that's been coming at us is from history, as I've shared with you. It's just like we're drinking out of a fire hose. Family and friends, it's hard to build a dam when you're floating down the stream. We need to look up. We need to confess up. We need to speak up. And we need to stand up. And we need for God to bless America one more time. I'm coming to a close. When the Japanese dropped bombs on Pearl Harbor on December the 7th, 1941, the United States rallied and they won the war. Admiral Yamamoto said, I intended to deal a fatal blow to the American fleet by attacking Pearl Harbor. I fear that all we have done is to awaken the sleeping giant and fill him with a terrible resolve. I thought this would destroy them. But all it did was just to fill them with a terrible resolve, and they won the war. And I want to say to you tonight in closing, It's time that God's people were filled with a terrible resolve. It's time to call upon God. It's time to repent. And it's time to let Him know we are in grave danger here in America, because as this psalm proves, there was once a glorious design. It's time to cry out to God in prayer and ask God to take this nation back. It's time for God to work in America again. It's time for all Americans to get down on their knees in prayer and get into the Word of God. It's time for all Americans to call upon our Lord and ask Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins, of our national sins, and bring revival to America again. It's time. And if not now, when? It's time. Because if we do not humble ourselves under the mighty hand of Almighty God and repent, then friends, we should not be surprised if God were to impeach America. Bow your heads with me in prayer.